It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Larry, how are you doing today?
I am doing just fine. Yes, spring came on the equinox on March 20 at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and of course it was preceded by 2 days that were quite winterish with the strong winds and clouds and chilly temperatures, what I call raw March days. And then along came the first day of spring, and yes, it was very springish. Clear skies, temperatures reaching in the 40s, almost into 50 degrees. However, this is late March, and late March, lots of things can happen. According to the forecast, we may be getting some snow, but that's not unusual. An interesting comparison, last year was the winter of such a small amount of snow, less than 40 inches of snow for the entire season. And yet half of that came in the last few days of March. So yes, we could still be getting something. And then a few years ago, for those who remember back into April of 2013, a record-setting month of 51 inches of snow fell in that April. Yeah, it is crazy what can happen. So we'll see. So far, we did have some rain this week, and that rain made quite a difference. We are now pretty close to normal in precipitation, but one of the differences it made is it eliminated the amount of snow that we had on the ground, which wasn't that much. It greened it up a bit, so the fire warnings are not quite what they were earlier. And then it just made for a different kind of scene. You know, you look outside now, I'm talking to you from out on my deck. I look around and I see only patches of snow, just a small amount. Everything else is gone. Now, this is at a time when many years, this is the deepest snowpack is about this time. The only snow I see is a couple places where the snow plow pushed it over to the side or some north-facing slopes. North-facing slopes are the last to melt because they don't get the sunlight like the south-facing does. South-facing is where spring happens the quickest. So, yes, there is a little bit of snow there, but not very much. In addition to that, because of the longer days, vernal equinox, we are getting a good migration. Best place to notice it around is on the west skyline, which is by Anger Tower, is where the raptor count for the spring takes place. The raptor count goes from March 1 to the end of May. So there are lots of raptors that come across and get counted at that time. The number one is bald eagles. Bald eagles have really made an impact in recent years. Duluth is considered the best place to see spring migration of bald eagles. However, it varies quite a bit. There was one day this 2 weeks ago where on March 11, over 600 were counted in one day. And then there was March 19, where only one was counted. Altogether, however, in March, there's been about 2,000 of bald eagles. That is a pretty impressive number. But there's another impressive number that goes along with that, too, and that's golden eagles. Most of us never see golden eagles, or if we do, it's usually in other part of the country. Well, golden eagles migrate across here, too, and about 120 have been counted so far. So, yes, an interesting situation that we deal with. There's more than that. There's other raptors besides that, the red-tailed hawk, rough-leg hawk, American kestrel, and merlin, northern harriers, turkey vultures. All of these have been noted. And one of the things I always appreciate that is that the counters not only count the raptors, they also make note of other birds that are coming across. The next most obvious of the migration is the Canada geese. It's hard for me to any day at all to step outside and not see or hear Canada geese in their migration. Very loud as they migrate, often in big flocks. And then there is the trumpeter swans. Trumpeter swans are probably even louder. And though they are not usually in big flocks, I had an experience this week of driving past a field, and there out in the field I saw a flock, I estimated, of 30 of the trumpeter swans. In addition to that, we have probably the next loudest bird that comes across in migration, and that's the sandhill crane. Sandhill cranes won't be as numerous, but they do migrate. And in one walk I had about a week ago, I heard a noise and I looked up and there were four sandhill cranes flying over, making a real loud guttural noise. Sandhill cranes are very well known for their migration that is staged in central Nebraska as they head north. But a lot of us realize you don't have to go there. You can see them right around here. And of course, you can hear them. In addition to that, there are other water birds showing up. Mallards have been recorded. And in one walk I had, I saw a hooded merganser out in an open water of a river. And there are other ducks that are being reported as well. Turkeys are doing their gobbling. I haven't yet heard rough grouse drumming, but I expect it pretty soon. And then there was a report of a woodcock performing in its mating ritual. That is a really interesting situation. The male bird, usually at about dusk, walks around making a ink, ink kind of noise, and then eventually takes off in a flight and then comes down from that flight and does it all over again to try to get the attention of a female. They do so early in the spring, and I have had times where I've heard them by this date, but I have not yet this year. And then there are some songbirds arriving. I saw a small flock of robins. There's been reports of bluebirds and hermit thrushes. And I see juncos every day. Junco is a kind of sparrow, though they are never, almost never called sparrows. They're kind of dark or perhaps gray with white on the underside and white on tail feathers. And easily seen along the side of the road. That's where they, when they show up, that's where they usually go to feed. And when they fly up, you can see that white on them. Well, in addition with these juncos, there are some other sparrows, tree sparrows, I have been seeing virtually every day. And there have been reports of fox sparrows as well. Maybe the greatest sight of bird migration that happened for me this week was a sight and a sound of a red-winged blackbird. That's a bird I look for every spring. And I visit a couple of swamps. That's where they live. The male red-winged blackbirds are just that. They are a blackbird about the size of a robin, and they have a big patch of red on their shoulders. And they sing a loud gonkeree kind of sound from the when they arrive on their territories. The one that I saw and heard had a weak song, and it didn't stay around very long, but it did show up. That's the male. The females don't come back for about another month. But it's always a bird I look forward to seeing in the early spring. In addition to that, we have the usual birds still at the bird feeder. They haven't moved on completely yet, but I expect they will, especially pine siskins. They're still at the bird feeder, but I don't think they're going to last too much longer. Among the mammals, squirrels, rabbits, probably having litters, though I haven't seen any of the babies, probably having their first litters by this time. The deer are interesting. They've been dealing with snow for so much, and now they get out in the open wherever they can and try to find some green grasses that are starting to show up. And then there is a beaver. I have a beaver lodge that I've been visiting regularly. It started last fall, and I just continued to go down and visit it. Well, a couple weeks ago, I noticed how there was a hole near the lodge, a hole in the ice, and the beavers apparently have worked their way coming from under, pushing their way through the ice to get up on top of the ice to get to some of their food that they cached there last fall. And that has continued to go on. The beavers keep the hole open despite how chilly it might get. So, yes, there's plenty going on there. Then there is the trees. The sap is flowing. I've noticed several places this week where people were tapping maple trees. Well, you don't have to tap it to see it. You can just see the sap dripping. And sometimes the sap will drip down and make a icicle that I refer to as sapsicles, which are incidentally quite tasty. And then in addition to that, the buds are starting to open more now of silver maple. And then, of course, there's the willows and the quaking aspen. Out in front of my house on a south-facing, crocus shoots are sticking up above the ground. I wouldn't be surprised with a day or two of sunlight that the buds will start showing. And this is also a place where we see the first of the dandelions. So, yeah, welcome to spring. It looks like it's going to be a good one. So, take care.
Thanks, Larry. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.